Welcome to In the News Show. I am your host, Judy Desigatis, and I'm here with my co-host, Father Bill Weary. How are you today?
Very good. Happy Easter season, Judy and everybody.
Yes, happy Easter season, everybody. Thank you, Joe Nebestinsky, for our technical assistance today, and David Hillowitz for our theme music. And as we talked about, we are in the Easter season. Father has seen a brand new movie that was out. The last time we talked on our show, we talked about a couple of movies that were coming out. One is with Shia LaBeouf about Padre Pio that's coming out in June. But we also talked about Russell Crowe starring in The Pope's Exorcist. And Father, I heard that you saw this movie. If you could share with us what your thoughts were, what did you think of it? Was it worth seeing?
I saw it Friday, this past Friday evening, the first day that it was in theaters around the United States, and it did hit Lewistown, where I am. And yes, I thought it was a good movie about a true figure who died a few years ago, Father Gabriel Amort, who was, in fact, the Pope's exorcist, the exorcist for the Diocese of Rome. And he did many thousands of exorcisms. He died in 2016 at age 91. Russell Crowe plays him in the movie, and it was pretty much predictable. I mean, it's a horror film, no doubt about it, and it is exaggerated. You know, it's Hollywood, and the incidents and the events displayed therein, especially centering around a possessed little boy who has a very fearsome aspect in the movie, similar mm-hmm. to the actress Linda Blair in the first Exorcist movie, The Exorcist, some years ago. And but a lot of those incidents are fictional, and it is exaggerated. But I thought it was a good movie. I have to tell you that the International Association of Exorcists, founded in 1990 by Father Gabriel Amorth, has denounced the movie.
Really?
Yeah. They don't like it. And I don't know if I'm with them on that. I don't really understand it. They were referring to the exaggeration, and I quote, "As was the case in other films, everything is exaggerated with striking manifestations on the physical and verbal level, typical of horror." It goes on, I'm quoting the organization, "besides being contrary to historical reality, it distorts and falsifies what is truly lived and experienced during the exorcism of the truly possessed," unquote. I really don't understand that, because I know that Father Gabriel Amort, his favorite movie was The Exorcist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he really liked that movie, which is very similar to this one that we're talking about. The IAE, the Organization of Exorcists, said that actually exorcism, this is interesting, in one of the statements they said, exorcism is actually a joyful experience. Now, that sounds a little counterintuitive, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But it's actually a joyful experience because God prevails, you know, at least they hope, that's what they pray, in an exorcism, and the person, the victim, is freed. And the organization didn't feel that the movie conveyed that joy. It's a very grim, dark, gothic, if you want to say that, movie. No doubt about it. But I thought Russell Crowe as Gabriel Amort cut a really fine figure, and he's an imposing individual. The real Father Gabriel Amort, I saw some videos of the real guy actually doing a video online doing an exorcism, and he looks, Gabriel Amort looks nothing like Russell Crowe. The real Gabriel Amort was clean shaven, for one thing, and that's a small thing. And Russell Crowe is, bearded, mm-hmm. and I think a smaller, slighter stature than, not as bulky as Russell Crowe. But anyway, I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was all right. It's predictable, as I said. I use that word that you can brace yourself. If it's not for the faint of heart, and there are people, even adults, who just don't like to watch that stuff, so then don't go. Gabriel Amort stated in 2013 that he had driven out 160,000 demons during his career. He was appointed chief exorcist of the Diocese of Rome in 1985. So In any case, there you have it. The trailer, I saw the trailer first, of course. It's only a few minutes long, and that's pretty fearsome, focusing in on the child. So I think, you know, with a Padre Pio movie coming out in June and this, and I think it could be an affirming thing for the Catholic faith.
So even the fact that it is gruesome, because I'm sure that a real exorcism is like that, do you think that this is overall, if you had to make a conclusion, would you suggest this for Catholics to see? I mean, even if, you know, with the warning, you know, faint of heart.
Is this something? I
would. Okay.
I would. Okay. They showed a video in one online platform of Father Gabriel Amort actually doing an exorcism of a woman, looks like a middle-aged woman, about 50, and he's praying over her, and it seems to be going, there's people around, and he's had his hand on her head, and he's praying over her, and at first she's calm, and they're beginning the exorcism, she's very normal, and just smiles, and nods her head, and then they go into the actual exorcism, and eventually they have to restrain her. People have to hold her back, but it's not quite as gruesome as the victim shown in the movie. One of the things he does, this is a little strange now, Father Gabriel Amort, at the beginning of every exorcism, thumbs his nose at the demon, which is a little unusual, to show the demon that he's not afraid. That's a little off-putting for me, because that's a vulgarity. You know what that means. It's my, you know what. But that's what he does, and they showed that on the video at the beginning. Every exorcism, he does that to sort of flaunt the demon or the demons. So,
do you think this?
I got nothing about this in seminary. When I was in seminary in the 1980s, there was no instruction or talk about this whatsoever. Now they are starting to teach it in seminary, and there are classes about it. And nevertheless, your average priest has to be delegated by the bishop to do a full-scale exorcism. And that is an appointment. And in the diocese here, we do have a diocesan exorcist, one of our priests. And but we can pray over people for deliverance and for, you know, release from evil. I mean, in a sort of, if I may say, an informal way, there's nothing wrong with that. And as lay people can do that with lay people, I believe, as well.
Do you think, like, having this depicted, the story of this Catholic exorcist, Father Amort, kind of might change some of the minds of some people that have this picture of the devil, the real negative side of it? Because we know this is a big thing now. Everything's very dark. A lot of the movies are very dark. A lot of the kids are into a lot of satanic things.
Can be, yes. I've heard reports of that too.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it might have that effect, wake people up, scare people straight, so to speak. The International Association of Exorcists recommends another movie called Libera Nos. Libera Nos means free us. It's Latin for free us. It's another movie about exorcisms. I've not seen it, and they recommend that. And then LifeSite News was recommending one called Nefarious.
Oh, I heard that, yes.
Nefarious. It's also in the theaters, I think, about now. I don't think it's as famous or as prominent as The Pope's Exorcist, which features a major Hollywood star. But boy, oh boy, John Weston was really talking up. He's the head of LifeSite News. Was really talking up Nefarious as fabulous. They showed a few trailers of it, but nothing like The Pope's Exorcist, nothing as dramatic as that. But Nefarious is supposedly about the woke agenda and the satanic agenda, this satanic planning behind the woke agenda. So the trailer just showed like somebody like a lawyer talking to a prisoner in prison, and then the light bulb overhead popping off or breaking apart, and that's all it showed. That was highly recommended by LifeSite News.
Just a few end comments before we move on to our next topic. I was listening about Divine Mercy, which we just celebrated, and Father Chris Alar, who's the director of the Marians up in Stockbridge, where the Divine Mercy Shrine is in the U.S. And he said, this is something that blew my mind, talk about scared straight. He said that every time an abortion is done, a demon is released.
Wow.
So of the 60 million plus that's been done in the U.S. and billions throughout the world, we need to be concerned about this. You know, we can't fear the demons, but we know that we can't say they're not around. And we have to, as Catholics, we have to put on the armor and, you know, and attack that. So the other thing I wanted to mention is you talked about the woke agenda. Something that I've seen, it's been repeated on EWTN. If you haven't seen it, this is also a real eye opener. It's called Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. And it's usually shown in the late evenings on EWTN once a month. And there's a Wolves in Sheep's Clothing part one and a Wolves in Sheep's Clothing part two. Part two deals with a gender agenda. And it kind of tracks, both films track where, how we got here, as you're talking about with Nefarious. Like, it didn't just happen. And and it's very worthwhile watching. I've watched it 4 or 5 times and I still have to watch it because I pick up something new every time. Hmm. But anyway, moving on, we have about 1 minute to go. And so on the other side of the show, we'll be talking a little bit about what's been going on with the Catholic bishops and the abortion drug, some things that are going on with the FBI and investigating Catholics, and what has been happening with the Walter Reed Military Hospital with the pastoral care under review. So what we'll do is we'll go to break, and please join us on the other side. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, 720 WHYF. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In the News Show. We're going to talk a little bit about the lethal abortion drug, mifepristone, that has been definitely controversial and has become easier and easier to get. The National Catholic Register, I'm referring to an article here, it says the Catholic bishops back the federal court ruling against the quote unquote lethal abortion drug. And there's a picture here of Bishop Michael Burbridge of Arlington.
My classmate.
Yes, I know. You mentioned that before.
Seminary classmate.
The U.S. Catholic bishops have praised a federal court's action to restore limits on the use of the abortion drug mifepristone and urged an end to the distribution of the life-ending drug just hours before the Supreme Court announced a temporary stay on the decision. And I think that the Supreme Court's supposed to rule on that, I think, Wednesday. So we need to step up our prayer with this. This has definitely been something that is very controversial. There's been an increase in the chemical abortions since the reversal of Roe v. Wade. So this is something that we have to really be aware of. There's a lot of dangers with this drug. It's not monitored. And I think some of it was depicted in the movie Unplanned as well. I don't know if that was part of what she took, but, chemical abortion, taking a drug to induce abortion. It's not monitored. It's not regulated. And it can cause a lot of harm. And it's sending women to the ER. And so there's actually two drugs. There's mifepristone is the first drug that's used. And it's a two-step regimen. And the pill works to kill the unborn baby by cutting off the nutrients. And then the second drug, misoprostol, induces cramping and contractions to expel the baby's body from the womb. And you have to even think about the fact that, and this was depicted in Unplanned, that baby is being flush down the septic system of, like, it's just horrifying to even think about that. I mean, you know,
chemically burned to death inside and sort of disintegrated. And it's been around for, these drugs have been around for 23 years and approximately, and that's why the pro-choice, pro-abortion groups are howling bloody murder about the possible reversal here. I just cannot imagine the pressure on the United States Supreme Court. You really hope that they're able to breathe and pray and be objective, which I think they can be. But the after the Roe versus Wade outcry, now this, it's like a second come around, almost the same thing. And in any case, it is largely motivated. I mean, the reversal of the attack on this, the pro-life attack on the chemical abortions, are largely for the protection of women. Although the pro-abortion groups and the feminist groups denounce that, they say it's baloney, but it's not baloney. This is terrible for women. This tears up the body as well. And it is so unnatural in this day and age where there's so much environmentalism going on and tree hugging, and which is, a lot of that's good. I think, by the way, you know, environmentalism is a legitimate branch of social justice and moral theology. I do. I think we can talk about climate control, climate change. We can talk about it. I think there's a concern there. But how unenvironmental, anti-environmental in the woman's body is abortion, and these chemical onslaughts on the woman's body interiorly. I mean, it's worse than polluting a river. These same people that will howl about polluting a river, and rightly so, will go ahead with polluting the woman's body and expelling something that is natural, that the body wants to celebrate. The body, our fertility is not an enemy. Our fertility is not a disease. Our fertility is something the body wants to celebrate. Pregnancy means something's gone right, not that something's gone wrong. So talk about woke. You know, I hope people wake up to the reality of this. And yes, prayers for the United States Supreme Court are very much called for.
Yeah, it's like you said, Father, they're classifying pregnancy. They think it's like an illness.
Yeah.
And so they think that the abortion drug, it says in this article, quote unquote, is a meaningful therapeutic benefit.
Oh, right.
I mean, I don't understand how they can think that's therapeutic. And I think even someone in Hollywood has said that abortions are merciful. And I'm like,
whoa,
I don't understand that at all. There's too much, you know, like you said about all this, this ideology of, like, you know, pollution and all these things going on. It's, pregnancy is a natural thing. And, you know, if they're all concerned about women's rights and my body, my choice, what is this drug doing to the woman's insides? I mean,
yeah,
they're saying they're getting the abortion, but what's going on in the body to get to that point? I mean, it's not natural at all.
Abortion, and I will say artificial contraception are not healthcare.
Right.
It's not medicine. Medicine, you take something that's not working right and you make it work right. Abortion and artificial contraception, you do the opposite. You get something that's working right and make it not work right.
Mm-hmm.
That's artificial contraception, and even worse, abortion.
Mm-hmm. Well, to put a little bit of a positive spin and turn this around a little bit, at the same time, I'm pulling from LifeSite News that there was a quote-unquote historic day that Florida's pro-life leaders react to a six-week abortion ban signed by Governor DeSantis. And this new heartbeat bill is set to ban nearly all abortions in the Sunshine State, with some notable caveats. I think there's some things about the life of the mother and things like that. But this is one of the reasons why everything with Roe v. Wade and the overturn is to go back to the states. So the states themselves can decide. We know abortion's wrong no matter what, but so the states can decide what they want to do on an individual basis. And so here is a situation where this heartbeat bill is in the state of Florida.
Study abortion, the abortion pill, and the terrible effects. It inspires, it's kind of a strange statement I'm going to make, but it inspires the virtue of chastity in people. It really can, because I think unchastity is what drives a lot of this.
Yes.
Sex outside of marriage, sex before marriage, cohabitation, adultery, where you have obviously, you know, unplanned pregnancies. And I see how chastity is good for the woman and for the man, and certainly as a preventer of abortion, because if you don't do the act, then you don't get pregnant, and you're not tempted toward an abortion. And I like to think that if young men and young women would study the effects of abortion and what, you know, one of the outcomes of sin. Sin begets sin.
That's right.
And it gives way to sin. Virtue begets virtue. And in any case, learning about this stuff, you would hope that people would be inspired toward chastity, to reserve the marital act for just that, for the act of marriage where the baby is safe. I mean, some married people do have abortions, but relatively few. It's mostly among the single.
A good point that you mentioned, Father, is that this comes from a prior sin. It's just not abortion as a singular thing. It's how did you get here? Why do you need an abortion? Well, because there was unchaste and there's unwanted pregnancy and there's not, you know, outside of marriage. So this goes back a long way. And you know, to reference what I said earlier in the show, if you do choose to watch any of those shows with the wolves in sheep clothing, they will track that for you, where all this comes from, the back in the 60s and prior to that. Some of this stuff began in the turn of the 20th century. So it goes back quite a bit.
And it's connected to materialism. Mm-hmm. And because, I have a baby, but I want to go to college, you know, and I want to have a good career. And a lot of the actresses talk like that.
Yep.
So some of the celebrity actresses who are upholding their abortion. Boy, that just saddens me so much. And they say things like, it's the best thing that happened to me because it helped me to advance my career.
Mm-hmm.
And that materialism, that success, idolizing of success and popularity and money, that can lead to it as well. So many-headed hydra, so to speak.
Yes, yes. I wanted to talk a little bit about, in the minutes that we have left, Walter Reed Military Hospital has said that the new Catholic pastoral care contract is under review. This is from the National Catholic Register. So apparently now one of the top military hospitals in the U.S. is reviewing its Catholic pastoral care contract. This was something that they had for a while and it had expired, and they continued to take care of the concerns of Catholic military personnel that were in the hospital. And the contract expired, and April 4th, there was a cease and desist letter from the hospital that increased these concerns. The Archbishop for Military Services, Timothy Broglio, voiced his objections on April 7th, citing the need to provide Holy Week and Easter Sunday services. I mean, this cease and desist dropped right during Holy Week. So so now this is going to be something that's under review, and I can only imagine that they might be questioning other Catholic pastoral programs in other hospitals now.
Under contract seems to suggest that the federal government or Walter Reed Hospital was paying chaplains, mm-hmm. or Catholic chaplains mm-hmm. to go in there, which they're not going to do anymore.
Right.
And you could argue back and forth on that. Maybe, you know, the independence, if you're being paid by the man and then you speak up against the man on things like abortion, if they're doing abortions, mm-hmm. and that's what mm-hmm. it gets very awkward. So maybe there's I remember when I was a chaplain at Geisinger Medical Center in Danville. I was beating the drum about a Geisinger helping to pay my salary, because I did a lot of work for, you know, I visited a lot of patients and they were benefiting from it. Mm-hmm. And Hershey Medical Center was paying the salary of the Catholic priest back then. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, I want that too. But on second thought, hindsight, thinking back, you know, it's kind of good to be independent of that maybe. And because then you can speak out more in case there's a wrongdoing. So yeah. I don't know. I apparently there's a tradition of being under contract, and Broglio's understandably upset about that. And it's not really clear why they're dropping that contract, but at least now they're going to be providing ministry on a volunteer basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll wait to see what happens with that. That's going to do it for us today. So Father, if you'd leave us with a prayer, please.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this season of Easter. May the power of the resurrection rise in our hearts. Keep us always in your love. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.